Welcome back, everybody, and welcome to another action-packed, exciting episode of Dark Sunsets. JR.
What up, brother? How you doing today?
I'm doing very well, and we're coming off some exciting news that we were just actually watching before we started recording. Your favorite NBA team has just won the NBA Finals Championship of 2019.
Well, so just to kind of put this out there, you know, we've done some episodes in the past where we talked about the Drake curse, and it's basically when, you know, Drake, you know, supports any sports team or sports figure, whether it be tennis, anything else like that. And when he does that, the team tends to just lose.
And it's happened countless times.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Like teams actually banned some of their players from signing autographs. You guys have got it from our previous episode, so I'm not going to rehash the full thing. But basically, Drake equals bad business for sports teams. The Toronto Raptors are in the NBA Finals, and actually we just watched them beat the Golden State Warriors, who were shorthanded, and we just watched them beat the Warriors. They got the championship. So Drake is probably burning down half of Toronto right now, just celebrating it. So congrats to the Toronto Raptors. Also,
Toronto Raptors. You sound so genuine when you say that as well. And we all know that Drake has obviously the largest ego possible. I mean, just look at him and the way he speaks, and now it's going to be accelerated even more because we just watched him win an NBA championship. And he didn't win, but he's feeling like he's part of that team.
Well, there's actually videos on Twitter and on socials where you'll actually see, like, the Game 5. Toronto almost won the game. They lost. Drake actually was walking off the court, like, giving people daps and
had his head
down, like, looking dejected as if he just lost the game himself. So, you know, he I give it to him. He's a fan, whatnot. You know, congrats to the Raptors for winning. Also, fuck the Raptors.
I'm actually shocked when he was walking out of that game with his head further down, which I've seen that as well. He wasn't signing autographs. Similar to what I've watched you actually sign autographs as a professional athlete. So you two are both athletes in your same realm, even though, you know, you're both not athletes at all.
The only time I'll sign an autograph is if somebody gets so insanely upset that I don't do it, that I have to do it to just kind of placate them. So I only do it in case of emergency, and, you know, Drake does it just for the fun of it. So, you know, like I said, congrats to the Raptors, fuck the Raptors, but Warriors had a great season. Hopefully speedy recovery health-wise for Kevin Durant, who ruptured an Achilles, and Klay Thompson, who probably has a little bit of knee damage. But
oh yeah, definitely.
Possibly the Drake curse might have ended, so we'll see. But you know, we'll have to keep you updated as new sports seasons open up.
It's going to be an exciting summer 19. All summer 19, we got
all summer 19.
All right. Summer 19. But I have a feeling, as we talked about before, just to get off of the Drake topic here, that he is going to release some type of mixtape or album around this W, and it probably could be called Jurassic Park or something like that.
Yeah, the Raptors do, you know, they are Raptors, so they do call, like, right outside the arena Jurassic Park or Jurassic World, something like that. So, you know, don't be surprised if there is some sort of mixtape. But
and we are back in full swing here, so as always, welcome back to Dark Sunsets and
the darker the sunset, the brighter the days.
Absolutely. And that leads us into the action pack episode that we have here today in this evening for you guys. So the first story, we were putting all of these stories together, and this one definitely stood out for us, didn't it?
Yeah, so there's always the Florida man stories, because there's always, you know, something crazy going on, and it's always reported about Florida. But South Carolina has now kind of stepped up to the plate. They want to get, you know, a couple shots in for the title. And so this first story we have is there was a woman in South Carolina who was recently arrested for drunk driving a kid's toy car. Now, she's 25 years old, so, you know, she's had her license, I'm guessing, for a little bit. But they caught, like, police had caught her driving a Power Wheels toy truck. And she was only about a mile from her house. So, you know, if you know the speed in which, you know, Power Wheels go, she was cooking. To get at least that far away. So she was cooking in that thing. She was impaired behind the wheel and whatnot. And the police had actually originally responded to a, as they call it, a suspicious person's call. And the young lady's name is Megan Holman. She was driving the toy truck on the road. And they could not confirm where she was headed. But they did confirm that she was, in fact, around a mile from her house. So they believe that she was coming back from someplace. So I will say that it's also pretty gangster of her to, if they believe that she was coming back from someplace, that means that she you know, took this Hot Wheels, pushed the whip, got to wherever she needed to go, got lit, and then hopped back in the whip, and then was coasting back in the Power Wheels.
That's, and exactly to that point. I don't understand. There's so many things that are coming up on this story total, especially, A, it's South Carolina, and I'm not sure about you, but I wouldn't trust people in South Carolina, let alone people who would be behind a Hot Wheels power truck here. So one of the areas in the article that stands out to me is it doesn't say if it was her kid's car.
That it actually doesn't even say if she has any kids.
Which is amazing. So this also could mean, JR, that she actually did a robbery of one of these trucks, took it somewhere, and then came back. Because I've ridden on one of these Power Wheels truck, and sober or not, you always look drunk driving these.
Well, the thing that's crazy too is, like, if you see somebody in the street, right, they're by a Power Wheels toy, they look like an adult.
And by someone, you mean a 7-year-old.
You know, but if you see a person by a Hot Wheels, that looks suspicious in and of itself. All of a sudden, you got this lady, is she hot wiring the Power Wheels, you know?
What do you think? It's like a Gone in 60 Seconds type?
Got the two wires.
Well, for her, because it's a power truck, it'd be gone in like 6 minutes and 26 seconds.
She's got the two wires together, tapping them together, the Power Wheel starts up, and she pulls off a cloud of dust, and she's going about 1 foot per second. I mean, she covered a lot of ground, though. The fact that they thought that she went someplace first and then came back, and she managed to get a Dewey in the Power Wheels truck. So just all those things combined, I would like for the Walhalla police to actually kind of release a little bit more. Because does she have any kids? Were any kids hurt in the stealing of this Power Wheels? Right. Did she just buy a Power Wheels herself?
That, and it doesn't actually say that she was pulled over. Because I don't feel as if you could use the term being pulled over when you're driving at half a mile per hour in one of these power trucks.
It's the lowest speed chase you could probably have.
Exactly. The cop probably parked and she was still trying to get away, and he took 3 steps and was like, ma'am, you need to step off the vehicle, if you can even call it a vehicle.
Just slow walking with her, like, ma'am, can you please pull over? Ma'am, stop, ma'am.
I mean, this is the nicest cop representation here. Maybe it was a Canadian cop, but also fuck the Raptors.
Yeah, you know, congrats to them for winning, but fuck them at the same time. But on another note, though, because like I said, South Carolina is stepping up to the plate, there is another story where there was we've done some stories about mums in the past. We always had to get a good mum story.
Shout out to the mums, yeah.
And, you know, there is a story of a South Carolina mum that was arrested after she allegedly went to her son's school and started confronting bullies. Now, this was even more interesting just because she went to this school. It's not like she went to like a high school, you know, anything like that.
No.
She went to the school and she was threateningly shouting at several 8- and 9-year-olds.
I was about to say, if you're in elementary school, you're easily less than 10, probably in the range of, you know, 7 to, as you mentioned, 10 years old.
Right, yeah. Right. So she's going to an elementary school and apparently, per the story, she went on a curse-filled tirade against the teacher, and then she was just shouting threateningly at several, you know, 8- and 9-year-old, and she was just upset because the school wasn't doing enough to stop bullying against her son. Now, bullying is an issue. It has been an issue, and, you know, with schools and whatnot, you know, just it's one of those things. There's been a lot of campaigns and stuff that you see on TV and stuff.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's a good look for moms to go to, especially in elementary school, to go tighten up some youngsters.
No, and I mean, I totally agree. But I also respect her play, right? Because she has her son coming home and saying, hey, I've been kicked and punched and bullied. And I remember the days when you and I grew up where if we got bullied, we would either fight back and happen. But now there's so many different waves of like bullying. You got like cyberbullying. You have all these different forms of bullying. So I respect her play. But also like for the kid, just throw a punch or drop an elbow. Like why aren't you sticking up for yourself?
And I'm wondering, like, you know, because some kids get mad just depending on, oh, you have fancy lunch or you have this or you have that. Like, did she send him with some, like, fancy Lunchables? And they're like, oh, this guy's bougie. He's got, like, some fancy charcuterie. Lunchables is basically fancy charcuterie for kids.
It really is. I mean, if he showed up with a actual brown bag with either the charcuterie with the actual, you know, the disco meats, if you will, of the ham or turkey, or if he had which I didn't really appreciate back in the day.
You might have said disc oats, by the way, just so y'all caught that. He's a disc oats.
The other Lunchable, which I never really fucked with, you might have, was the cold pizzas.
Now, I have had one or two of those in my time.
Yeah.
You know, nothing for me to write home about. I'm like, DMI, you know, cold pizza, Lunchables. But it was almost like, I'm telling you, if you think about it, the kids that had, adults that like charcuterie now were probably kids that enjoyed the Lunchables.
Oh, absolutely.
It's like you get like the little round crackers and you get like the little cheese and, you know, and the little, as you call it, disc o meat. And then you sit there and you put it together, you know. The only thing it didn't have was wine, but I'm sure they gave them a Welch's grape juice box.
Well, yeah, so then, it's just, it's literally like a flip of the script. But yeah, instead of like using, you know, a wooden plank that we would use as adults, you would use like the benches where it wouldn't be clean for like at least like 4 days. So it would just be disgusting and they would put all their meat and cheese on it. But I really do like this woman's play here. And another area that I think is how these two stories are correlating and they're next to each other. What if this was the lady who was driving her son's power truck? And I just watched you realize and catch up here. What if she was the lady who drove to her son's school? And on the way back, this is how she got caught by the police. What are your thoughts around that?
So yeah, that if you guys were listening, that was actually me processing the whole full circle of that story in case that was in fact the mom. Like that, I couldn't, so much.
He's at loss for words.
So much. But to finish it off though, you know, the mom said that she lost her cool card, quote unquote. She lost her cool, but she said she lost her cool card. You know, she walked right into school, she said, and she told her children that bullying wasn't okay. If they wanted to continue, then she said that she needed to talk to their moms because the school wasn't doing anything. And she doesn't regret, you know, doing the stand up, you know, or standing up for her son or anything like that. And she was charged, though, at the end of the day, she was charged with non-student interfering, disrupting, or disturbing schools. So she's going to be doing in court next week. It's not going to be, I'm sure it's not going to be anything too crazy of a fine. It's going to be some good grounds to stand because, yeah, you need to at least, you know, stand up for your kids and do things like that. But hopefully this, as you pointed out, because now my mind is blown. Like, I almost lost just half the pod right there.
Oh, 100%.
If it's the mom that's also driving the toy car, then that's a wrap for me.
And I feel as if there's so much more going on with this student as well, because in the article itself, there's a quoted area from the mom, and she said, "My son got hit, kicked, and hit with a computer. He was then shoved, and then wait for it. He was also jerked off a slide from behind." So things are happening at this school that are opening the picture where I feel as if detectives need to be looking further into this because, you know, this is a story that can open up nationally with that type of scenario.
Yeah, that's definitely not what they had in mind for the after school program. You know, getting jerked off the slide is definitely not, you know, conducive for learning.
Especially in an elementary school setting. And that's something that would happen specifically in Florida. So we are recording, obviously, in Florida, and we always have the go-to Florida man or Florida-style story. So that definitely leads us into our next topic here, which is a beautiful one, in my opinion, because it combines not only the craziness of Florida, but also the heartiness of fresh potato wedges.
So this is a little bit shorter of a story, but, you know, it does pack a punch. And this is, you know, a Florida man story, so.
No pun intended.
So, you know, we had the two South Carolina stories because South Carolina was trying to step up to the plate. But then we always have to get our Florida man story in. And so we have a Florida man that was arrested this past weekend. And it was after police had discovered he had a bag of methamphetamine. Inside of a to-go box of potato wedges. And for some reason in the article, in quotation, they have hot, fresh potato wedges. I don't know why they paused it just like that. They made it seem almost sensual, if you will. But, you know, the deputies did find the drugs at just a random traffic stop on Saturday in Hillsborough County. And the suspect, the gentleman who was, you know, stashing the meth in the hot wedges, his name was James Henry Simpson. No relation to the Simpsons.
No, but his name in a nutshell just absolutely sounds like he would be the type of person to put meth in potato wedges.
Just meth in any culinary thing at all. I mean, he might put meth in a bag of chips. He could. James Henry Simpson. What wouldn't James Henry Simpson place meth in is the question.
Oh, no, yeah. If you think of like anything that's happened in the last 5 to 10 years, he would be the leading suspect, even if he wasn't even in that state. Absolutely.
So what's even funnier is that, all right, well, I guess it's not funny. This part isn't funny, but the end will be funny. So he was wanted in a neighboring county after he had failed to appear in court on a drug-related charge. And then once the police found out about the active warrant for James Henry Simpson, the deputies began to search his vehicle, and they came across 6 grams of meth, in quotations, mixed with his crispy snacks. So,
I think overall, it definitely just sounds like the police were more hungry than anything, the way that they're describing these potato wedges.
And then, okay, if the guy thought he was going to get away with, because I'm obviously none of us are familiar with this whole meth situation, but if the guy thought he was going to get away with this meth and still be able to use it, why would he just openly sprinkle it throughout the potato wedges? Like, I feel like you wouldn't be able to use it after that. I don't, like, if it was green or something, like, yeah, maybe you can like pull the green, but is that how the, I don't know.
I wouldn't know. Do you consume it? Obviously you have the ability to do other things with meth, but
it's not Molly.
No, it's not like you can just, it's not like a fun dip, right? It's not like you can just take a potato wedge, get the meth wet and dunk it in and just lick it
away.
No, I don't feel as if that's going to be the case. And what's interesting about this guy here in particular is the fact that he was a self-employed handyman. So what happens if he's like doing work, you know, for your home or on something in particular throughout your life, and you're just like, oh, you know, you did a great job, absolutely. And when you go change your air filter in about 2 months, you just find, you know, almost 10 grams of meth just in your air filter when you're trying to change that. I mean, this guy is just unbelievable.
Well, yeah, so to just kind of cap it off real quick, the Hillsborough County Sheriff actually on Facebook did share just a quick post, and then he captured the post and actually used the quotations, "I like an order of potato wedges with a side of meth." Like, so he made a joke of it. Like, this guy, I don't know what you get for 6 grams of meth. I'm guessing it's not anything good. Plus, he had some active warrants. You know, he was arrested with the outstanding warrants. He was slapped with an additional charge for possession of a controlled substance. And the self-made handyman was still in custody on a bail bond. But I don't know if he's going to bounce back from this, at least without the wedges.
I mean, James Henry Simpson, he's the guy that's never going to not get back up from being knocked down just based on his photo. So I think he'll be okay in a couple years here. And you never know. He might be your Uber driver.
Well, I just wish him the best of luck. You know, if Toronto can win the championship, then he can certainly get himself a little bit more clean.
Fuck the Raptors.
But congrats on winning. But yeah, so our next story, though, because this guy could have been your Uber driver or your Lyft driver or anything like that. And I know a lot of you out there do actually use Uber and Lyft. Like, for example, first Friday, J-Rob and I, a couple of friends, were out in downtown St. Pete. And
grand old time.
Towards the end of the evening, you know, there was like a jazz bar. There's other bars and stuff. We were, you know, checking out, just, you know, enjoying ourselves. And towards the end of the evening, you know, J-Rob kind of disappeared. I hit him up. Hey, what's good? Hey, yeah, I'm in the Lyft, headed home. I'll see you tomorrow.
And this was like 4 minutes before, like, hanging out actually upstairs at the bar that we're at the current place. I've been watching a lot of David Blaine documentaries lately, and I just felt like it was time to utilize these skills that I've learned.
It was the fast, like, I don't even know how you got to the Lyft that quick, but it was possibly the fastest transition I've seen. So just shout outs to you for being so efficient with the Lyft. And then
you haven't seen their new slide feature where it just like I slide directly into the back of the car. It's like Uber X and then just Uber slide, Uber playground version. And I just slide directly into
it. You guys would have been amazed at the skill in which he did this. But to tap into this next story, and I know that you had to kind of pull this one up, but I'll give you guys the headlines out there. Uber and Lyft drivers are actually, or reportedly, tricking the app in order to charge riders more.
Yeah, absolutely. So what's interesting as well, and I know a lot of people that do Uber and Lyft. So, you know, a lot of the controversy has happened recently where a lot of the drivers don't feel as if they're getting paid significantly enough. And because the competition is so large when it comes to Uber and Lyft, that the amount of wages that are being paid across the board are less and less. So a group of individuals actually in Washington, D.C., rideshare drivers at Reagan National Airport actually simultaneously turned off their apps in order to make the companies believe that there are no drivers available, which ultimately triggers the surge pricing, right? So once the fare reaches a certain amount, then they turn their apps back on, ultimately jumping a ride from, you know, $5 to potentially $20 in that type of distance. So overall, I think it's a shiesty, shady way to do this. But ultimately, if you have to get paid and, you know, you're flying in and you need a ride from there, you know, it's a win for the riders. And of course, it's a win for, you know, the drivers. But I feel as if this is going to be happening more and more. And hopefully they set up some type of algorithm in the platform that doesn't allow that, because that's probably going to be common, especially like late nights that we, you know, are heading back.
Yeah. And I know that there's times where, you know, if it's 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock in the morning, obviously there's going to be less drivers out there. So, you know, the rates that you would get would be that much higher.
Yeah.
So it would almost be like, you know, if I was down in St. Pete, I'd try to get an Uber, but if it got to be too late and the price was just too high, I'm just going to crash at your place. I'm not going to drop $60, $70 on a one way ticket back up to Clearwater. So,
yeah.
You know, part of this also is that some of the drivers feel as if Uber doesn't pay them enough. So, I think one of the quotes from one of the drivers was that, in quotations, "Uber doesn't pay us enough. What the company is doing is defrauding all these people by taking 35 to 40%. They're taking all this money because there's no system of accountability." So, you know, there is a little bit of discontent. And, you know, it also could tie into the fact that Uber wants to, the way that their business model is, they're just basically a middleman. And they want to provide enough people so that there's always a ride for somebody at every time. But when you have more people giving out rides, that also lowers the amount that each person can get paid.
Yeah.
You know, it's a little bit more of a watered down product. So, you know, you kind of have to walk the fine line of, if you have too many people, then, you know, not everybody's getting paid what they think they should because there's not enough volume. But at the same time, at least everybody is getting, you know, rides. All the you know, patrons are getting rides. So it kind of sucks, you know. And like you said, hopefully there is going to be some sort of algorithm for this, just because I know that I feel comfortable if I go out, I don't have to drive or whatever. And
yeah,
I don't have to worry about, like, if I call a cab company, it's like, where are you? You know, where am I exactly? You have to look around. With the app, with the Uber app, with the Lyft app, it uses your current location, you drop a pin. It makes things a lot easier. And if your card and stuff is linked, you know, which I think on both apps it has to be.
Yeah, it does.
Then you don't have to worry about it. So, I mean, it's a safer way. I feel better, you know, with that. But I don't want there to be discontent, because I also don't want some of these drivers doing shady stuff anyway, especially if I'm in, you know, like a drunken state or something.
Yeah,
like that.
You don't want to have some driver essentially picking you up and being angry as soon as they pick you up, right? Just because they know they're not getting paid. And I think you and I have both been in a Lyft where people are just like openly complaining about how much money they're not making. And it's
right.
Like, well, obviously we're not going to tip you if you're going to be complaining throughout the whole experience. But, you know, the drivers went on strike in May. So hopefully things pan out. And, you know, that's in America. But, you know, our last story, or one of our next stories here, does lead us into the other side of the planet in good old Australia.
Yeah, but it's a little bit of a trip down under, where we have a, as you call it, like a shrimp on the bobby.
A shrimp on a bobby.
And my article is not quite pulling up right now, but from my memory, it was an Australian model that, you know, she actually did pretty well for herself as a model, but she actually did a little bit better for herself and as they call it, the commercial drug game.
Yep. So Jordan Finlayson, and if you're on IG, definitely give her a follow because she's quite promising. But on that note, so she is not only an Instagram model, and that's, I'm sure, how she was getting paid somewhat of her somewhat quote-unquote profession, because that's a new profession these days to be an Instagram model or influencer.
She actually has, she got some good
vibes. some serious talent. But also what she was doing is she was also using the platform to also push drugs, right? So she was literally pushing a serious amount of weight with her and her boyfriend during that experience. So obviously the front was for her to be an Instagram model, but behind the scenes, you know, her Bonnie and Clyde style relationship, they were pushing drugs and I'm sure getting cashed out a significant amount more than what she was getting paid for that Instagram experience.
Yeah, so it was Jordan Finlayson, like you said, she's 28. I guess you guys would know her from a show called Beauty and the Geek. That's not something I'm familiar with because I don't have enough time to watch all these shows on TV. It's like sports, you know.
Well, you do have the laugh track, and I've heard a lot about this. Channel 24-6.
Channel 24-2. Laugh, L-A-F-F on High Definition Antenna. But no, so yeah, Beauty and the Geek. I'm sure that there's a good following for that, sure. And then her boyfriend, his name is Martin Roser. He's 30. They were arrested yesterday, actually, at 3 p.m. So that would be Wednesday. We're recording on Thursday. But they were arrested at 3 p.m. on Wednesday in Waterloo, Sydney. And officers had allegedly seized drugs that were believed to be heroin. Now, this is methylamphetamine. So is that
it's
super scientific version of methamphetamine?
Yeah, this is what was also put in the potato wedges.
Okay, so... Yeah. So meth, you know, so maybe she's been moving these wedges to old boy, up in Florida, up here, you know. So got methamphetamine, and then I'm not familiar with GBL, but gamma. Boy, that's a spell.
Yeah.
GBL. We'll go with GBL.
We'll go with GBL.
But yeah, so apparently they're supposed to be moving units of all these three drugs, and they ended up getting charged with 15 different offenses in relation to supplying, you know, the illicit drugs. Supplying prohibited drugs and doing it in a commercial quantity. So baby girl was moving weight.
Serious weight.
Legit weight. Like, you know, she rolled up in a new Bugatti, you know, Beamer, Benz, and Bentley. Like she was definitely pushing some cash. And they're almost comparing it to like them being like a modern day Bonnie and Clyde, like I think you had said earlier. But I'm not sure how they got caught. I'm not sure what exactly happened that got them caught. But this is another instance of somebody using their social influence.
Yep.
And instead of it, you know, because there's always the people that use social influence and use it to a good way to promote their brand, this is them going down under and flipping it and using it on like the dark side, if you will.
It's so true. And I feel as if like this is the new, I mean, this has obviously been a common formatting here to get exposure, but people now are going to be using, you know, their followers and their clout, their internet clout to, you know, get certain things like this, right? So the more exposure they can get, like in her profile, it said, you know, direct message for certain certain collabs and then boat and model booking / packages. So the packages potentially could be, hey, do you want a package of heroin or GBL or something among those lines? So yeah, she's using this obviously for her benefit, which is illegally selling drugs. So,
and I mean, there's not going to be any more Beauty and the Geek. There's not going to be, you know, because if they move in commercial weight, if they move in units like that, then it's a wrap. Like that, and she's a pretty looking girl. So, I mean, I'm sure that the other girls in prison are going to have fun with her. But that's just, it's kind of surprising because, you know, like I said, if you got the clout and whatnot, if anything, you could be an affiliate and sell workout products. Or yeah, whatever. you could
just clothing. What do they sell? Don't they have like tea ads where they're like, "Hey, just drink my tea,"
that,
and they have like
bubble tea and tea and all. And I mean, I just, because for them to be moving heroin and meth, and it's like those drugs are like the hardest of core drugs. So it's like, I don't know. I didn't see that one coming. But, you know,
and that's what's happening on the other side of the world. We don't understand what's, you
it's
know,
all down under.
It's all down under and it's all downhill. And they're part of the true dark sunsets, because the sunset is happening a little bit differently over there. But to bring things back in our last story here, as we're wrapping up this episode now, is back in America, and it's actually with some stars such as 50 Cent and good old Bow Wow.
Yeah, formerly known as Lil Bow Wow. Bow Wow's all grown up.
He dropped a little.
It's basically, this isn't the first time that this has happened in the last, I guess, you know, couple weeks, but 50 Cent is accusing Bow Wow of leaving the club with money that was intended, in fact, for strippers.
Which is unbelievable. And I haven't seen that happen where people are standing up and leaving with the money, but I've definitely seen people pick up money off the stage floor and re-throw it, almost like a repurposing of money.
Re-gifted it, basically.
Yeah, so the strippers didn't see the first time the money was thrown, so the second time, and they're like, oh, this guy must be well off if he's throwing this recycled money.
Well, so I guess it started, it was there's a rapper down in Atlanta called Lil Duval, and I guess he had called out Bow Wow, for throwing 50 Cent's money all over some Atlanta strip club. And then, you know, the day after, 50 Cent made the same, you know, claim that Bow Wow was throwing, you know, 50's money around. So they both posted this on Instagram. And on Wednesday, 50 had posted a clip of Bow Wow counting up the money on Instagram. And he posted it, I guess, on IG Live.
Yep.
And he also said that, or he also alleged that Bow Wow took some of the money home, which in and of itself is crazy because, like you said, when you go to an establishment like that, you don't really see people actually collecting the money and then placing it in their pocket or leaving with it. So that, and if you're in movies and you're making money and you're good, then you know you also don't see that either. So with all that, you know, basically, this has been kind of now snowballing into this big, you know, social media kind of call out of Bow Wow or whatever. And so now 50 Cent he was wondering why the singles weren't on the floor. And he also gave Bow Wow a deadline to refund the money by the beginning of next week.
I mean, how many ones, and there were ones, right? It shows they were all ones. How many ones, so let's say in the photo, he's actually wearing like joggers. So how many ones do you think you can actually fit in a pair of joggers that he has to return? More than 10,000? No way.
Now, if you guys go out and check 50 Cent's his IG,
Fofty,
there's actually like a video clip.
Yeah.
And it's showing some joggers with, it looks like, four or five stacks of racks. Racks. Just, I guess, stuffed in the joggers, like hanging out the top of the joggers. But 50 has basically stated that he's no longer inviting Bow Wow to any of those events. He called it bum shit.
That's some serious bum shit.
But the fact that he gave him a week.
A deadline.
Of the beginning of next week to refund the money. It's just, that's a bad look one way or the other. And if there's multiple people, saying that he did it. And Bow Wow did try to respond. He said, you know, in fact, he arrived with his own cash. And he said that he'd still be willing to cough up a grand to repay his share if it would eliminate any potential animosity.
Yeah, he is not getting out of this. So ultimately, and he actually, I remember he did some scandal like this before where he was posing in a private jet and the jet was on the ground and it wasn't even a private jet. So he pretended like he was in the air. So Bow Wow is historically known for this type of bum shit. The messaging here is, if you go to the strip club, take money out, throw the money. And if you go with your friends and you're those friends, don't steal that money.
Don't collect the money.
Because that's for those single moms and those performance artists.
And then just, why would Bow Wow offer to repay it, repay a grand?
Without doing it.
Yeah, that also just, so yeah, life lesson, just if you're going to go out and you're going to, you know, hang out with people that have racks, then bring your own stacks. That's it.
And ultimately, another great episode. We love y'all.
Peace.